We're doing Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We will dedicate our learning today to the speedy recovery of Bezalel ben Sarah Imenu. We're up to the Mishnah. Keitzad bodekin et ha'idim. How do we check out the witnesses? How do we cross-examine them? They come and say, we saw a new moon. So how do we check out their testimony? Zug shebarishon bodekin oto rishon. So we go in chronological order. First come, first serve. Let's say 50 pairs of witnesses came. So we say, okay, first pair that came, we interview them first. Umachnisin tagadol shebehen. And we also honor the bigger one gets interviewed first, and we say to him, "V'omrim lo, emo, tell us, keitzad reita talvana lifnei chama ulachar chama. How did you see the moon? Was it on top of the sun or beneath the sun? Meaning, litzfonau lidroma. Was it north of the sun? Was it south of the sun? Kama yagavoa. Remember, the new moon is seen right after sunset. You look at the western horizon, and the new moon sets directly after the sun." So the rabbis would ask him, how high was it above the horizon? V'la'ana yanote? And in what direction did you see the moon facing? V'kama yarachav? And how wide was the new moon? Im amar lifnei chama lo amar klum. If he said it was in front of the moon, which we'll explain right away in the Gemara, what does that mean, lifnei chama? I'm sorry, if it was facing the sun, lo amar klum, he said nothing. And after, then they bring in the second one to interview him. They check him out. If their testimony, they passed cross-examination, they both saw the same thing. Then their testimony is validated. What do you do with all the other witnesses? They traveled this distance. They came to the high court. So you tell them, go home, we don't need you. No, that's not nice. What do we do? Shalin otan rashei dvarim. You ask them just headings. You ask them, so what did you see? Tell me, where was it? Fantastic, what a testimony. And you? Okay. Lo shayu tzichin len, not because we really needed their testimony, we've already validated it. Ela kedei shlo yitzu befachei nefesh, because we don't want them to walk out dejected, bishvil sheyu gilim lavo, because we want them to come. The guy's going to say, he's going to come back home, and his wife's going to say, well, did you see the chief rabbi of Israel? And he's going to say, no, the witnesses before me already came, and they didn't need me for anything. Next month, I'm not going. His wife's going to say, right, we destroyed our Shabbos meal. You traveled all the way there. You traveled all the way back. They didn't even treat you with respect. Forget it. Next month, you don't go. So what the rabbis do, they bring him in, they stroke their beards, and they say, tell us, how'd you see that new moon? Exactly how high was it? And where was it? Perfect. Wow, fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming down here. Oh, now the guy walks out. It feels like he's in seventh heaven. Okay. No, a little bit of psychology. The Gemara says, when it says in the interview, they'd ask him, was it facing the sun? Was it before the sun or after the sun? That means, was it north of the sun or south? And when it says, was it past the sun or was it south of the sun? Well, that's what it means. Was it past the sun or was it south of the sun? So why did they ask the same question twice? What does it mean to the face and behind, if not north and south of the sun? Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, no, what it means is, they asked him, when you look at the crevice of the moon, when you look at its insert, was it facing the moon or facing away from the moon? If he says the insert, the indentation in the moon was facing the sun, so then lo amar klum, what he said is nonsense. The amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan taught, my dichtivam shel vafachad imo se shalom bimomav. What does it mean that God has rulership and God instills fear and he makes peace in the heavens? The sun never saw the carving out, the chip of the moon. Meaning Chazal describes it as though the moon's been chipped out, it's been engraved. So the sun never witnessed that. Nor did it ever see the chipping out of the rainbow. You know, the rainbow has an indentation too. Well, it always sees the external, the whole part of the circle, not the indentation in the circle. never sees the chip of the moon, because the moon will feel bad. Oh, bad enough I was punished that I get chipped, I wane and I wax. Why does the sun have to see that? Never sees the bow of the rainbow overturned. People shouldn't say, you know why the rainbow is in the shape of a bow? Because the sun is shooting arrows at everyone. If you don't bow down to the sun, it's going to kill you. So Hashem made it that the bow is facing towards the sun. So it never seems like the sun is shooting at anyone. Okay, so obviously this has greater depth. Chazal worded it simply, but they meant something deep, and we don't know what. Maybe you know, I don't know. Okay, so we'd ask them, where was the moon facing? And the moon, the indentation of the moon, the dark side of the moon, is never facing the sun. The light side of the moon is always what's facing the sun, because it's reflecting the light of the sun. So that's part of the interview. We'd ask them, Kama haya gavoa, how high was the moon above the horizon? Ve'le'an haya note, and in which direction was it tilted? Tanachada litzponat vavkayamin. One brisa says that if the witnesses say that it was tilted northward, so then they're right. We accept their testimony. But if they say it was tilted southward, so then they didn't really see the moon. Vatanya ipcha, but we have a brisa that says the exact opposite. That if the witness says the moon was tilted southward, then he's right. But if he said northward, then he hasn't seen anything. Lo kasha, kan bimotach ma, kan bimotach shamim. It depends on the seasons. Meaning, if you look at the sun and the moon in the summertime, so then the moon sets northwardly, so then the moon is going to face northwardly. And on the winter days, where it goes out in the more southwardly, so that's also reflected in the moon. And in the middle of the seasons, in the equinox, so then it should be closer to equal. Okay. Rashi goes into all the mathematics here. I would think it's the reverse. I don't remember if I got it right in Rashi. You gotta look through Rashi. I would think that when it sets more northward, then it's tilted more southward, then the moon is tilted more southward. But you gotta go through Rashi and see which way it goes. Tanu Rabbanan, and this is something you guys can see. I witness this every year, because when we moved into our apartment, so the way we're ground floor, and there are buildings across the street from us. And I came to see the apartment. It was just after Pesach, and I saw that the apartment had excellent shade. Well, you know what? It has excellent shade all winter long. Comes the summer, the sun shifts just enough that we get hit by the sun all day. So the apartment is cold in the winter and hot in the summer, because the sun really shifts north south, and you see it in our apartment. You mamash see it. You could see, even my wife knows. Comes after Pesach, comes Shavuos time, she has an easy time drying clothing. Not because of the heat so much, but because she has sunlight on the porch for so many more hours. Because the sun shifts just enough that it passes the building across the street from us, and we get it. So the sun really, here in Israel, you see it more. The shift of the sun from north to south between the summer and the winter. Tanu Rabbanan. Echad omer gavoa bet mirdot, echad omer gimel. If one says it was the height of three, I forgot the translation of the word mildad. Three measurements high, but I don't remember how you say mildad in English. And one said it was two high, one said it was three high. So then Edutan Kayemit. That's close enough that we say their testimony is valid. אחד אומר ג' ואחד אומר ה' עדותן בטלה. If one says it was three high and one says it was five high, so that's too distant, so then their testimony is invalidated. That's, the difference is too big.
But these witnesses could each combine with another witness who saw it at that height.
Okay. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan, Reinu b'mayim. If the witnesses say, we saw it in the river. Reinu b'ashashit. We saw it in the glass. Reinu b'avim. We saw it in the clouds. It was a cloudy day. But we saw the moon shining through the clouds. Ein midin alav. Then they cannot testify on the new moon. Chetio b'mayim, chetio b'avim. Half the moon was already sunk in the water. Half of it was in the clouds. Chetio b'ashashit, or half of it. I'm sorry. Chetio b'mayim. Half of it was in the water, but half of it we saw. Chetio b'avim. Half of it was in the clouds, but half of the new moon we saw. Chetio b'ashashit. Half of it we saw through glass, but the other half we saw clearly. En midin alav. Then they cannot testify. Hashtakulo amrit lo chetio mibaya. If they saw all of it through that, you say it's not kosher. If they saw only half of it, is that obviously, if they only saw half of it through the clouds and the other half they didn't see, they can't testify. The Gemara initially assumes that it means they only saw half. Half in the water, half in the clouds, half in the glass. So the Gemara says, Hachikama. No, what the Braisa meant to say is the way we explained it. Chetio b'mayim, chetio b'rakia. Half of it was sunk in the water, half of it we saw in the sky. Chetio b'avim, chetio b'rakia. Half of it was in the clouds, half of it was in clear sky. Chetio b'ashashit, chetio b'rakia. Half of it was in the glass, half of it was in the sky. In Medin, they cannot testify. Ashashit is glass. Rashi says candela. So I'm not sure if it means through some kind of looking glass. I'm not sure. Ashashit literally means a glass vessel. So they were looking through some kind of glass to see it. Now, their glass wasn't our glass. I don't think there's a problem looking through glasses and seeing it. But you know what? Let's pause for a minute. What?
A telescope.
Ah, it's a telescope. I don't know. Let's open up a Rambam and see this in the Halacha. One second. Let's see what's inside. Because Kiddush HaChodesh is towards the end of Zmanim. Rambam just quotes the Gemara. He doesn't expand on it. He just says, if they say we saw it in the water, in the clouds, or in the Ashashit. But he doesn't say what the Ashashit is. And the Rambam, what?
It's painfully obvious to the Rambam.
And the Rambam also says that Mirdat, the Rambam translates as floors, two stories high, two floors high, or three floors high. That's how the Rambam explains Mirdat. So the commentary over here says, okay, I don't know what he means. Okay, I'm not sure what the commentary here means when he says that. Okay. Because he says bivouah, and bivouah usually means the shadow. I don't think
he means the shadow when he says bivouah. He might mean the reflection. But the question is that how you have to learn the Gemara, that they saw the reflection in the water, not that they saw it through the water?
How would they see it through the water?
Okay. So you're saying it has to be the reflection. Okay. So he explains that in all these instances, you can't be sure that what they saw is the moon. And I'm not sure, you know, there would be room to learn differently. That even if what they saw is the moon, they didn't see the moon. They saw the reflection, according to his interpretation. It's not because I'm uncertain. Let's say they say, I saw the moon. And then according to him, I could learn that Ashashit is a looking glass. You know, they saw it in a mirror, according to him. I would say you didn't see the moon. You saw a video of the moon. You saw it through your Skype, you know. But you didn't see the moon. You can't testify you saw the moon. You didn't. You saw something else. That's what I would say. But he's not saying that. He's saying you can't be sure that what they saw is the moon. And if I could be sure, and if I'm looking into my telescope and I see the moon, according to him, that would be okay. I wouldn't learn the Rambam that way. I wouldn't learn the Gemara that way. Okay? The Gemara initially understood that you only saw half the moon. That if you saw half of it in the clouds, it's not kosher. The Gemara says, well, you told me if I saw all of it through a cloud, it's not kosher. So of course if I saw only half of it through the cloud, it's not kosher. The Gemara says, no, it means you saw half through the cloud and the other half you saw in the clear sky. Initially the Gemara understood it meant you only saw half. The other half you didn't see altogether. You saw half a moon in the cloud. That's the maskana. That's the bottom line.
The Gemara just say, if you see half of it in the sky and half of it, and then something in reflection, then it's not kosher.
That's what it said.
But then why do you have to say the ratio?
That's a good question. Right. So sometimes Brises say, lozu afzu.
Lozu afzu, yeah, but isn't there a reason why they would say lozu afzu?
Usually, yeah, but not always. No. Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa says, Ra'inu v'shuv lo ra'inu. We saw it and then we didn't see it. En meidin alav. They can't testify about the new moon. So the Gemara asks, Kol achi chazula v'azle, what do you want them to do? Stand there and watch the new moon all night? What do you want? They saw the new moon. What do they have to see more than that? Why is it a problem if they saw it and then they didn't see it? They saw it, fine. Who needs to see it more than for a second? Amar Abaye Hachikamar. Abaye says, no, this is what it's saying. Reinu ma'aleinu, v'shamnu liroto mida'ateinu, elo reinu. We saw it in passing. We weren't focused on seeing the new moon. Suddenly we saw the new moon. Then a second later we said, hey, wait a second, that's a new moon. Let's look at it so we could testify. When we tried to look at it and focus, we didn't see it. So we saw it, and a second later we said, wait, that was the new moon. Let's take a better look so we could testify. And at that point when we tried to look, we didn't see it. And Medina Lav, they can't testify. My timer, why won't we accept that testimony? Emel Kuvita de'iva be'alma u'dechazi. Maybe they just saw the light of a round cloud. Sometimes the clouds get some sunlight into them and they could shine. So yeah, they felt like they saw some light over there in the sky. When they focused, suddenly they didn't see it. Right, maybe it was never there. Unless you're focused and to see what you're seeing, so we don't accept their testimony. Okay. Mishnah. They accept the testimony, and then the procession goes as follows. Rosh Bet Din Omer Mikudash, the head of the court, he declares, we hereby sanctify the month. V'chol ha'amonim macharav, Mikudash, Mikudash, and everyone responds in unison, it is sanctified, it is sanctified. Benchin Rebizmano, Benchon Rebizmano, Mikachinoto, Tanakama holds. It doesn't matter if you saw the new moon on day 30 or 31. Day 30 is called Bizmano, and it's a time when I expected it. Day 31 is it's a pregnant month. It's a little late. Well, anyways, you sanctify it. You declare it the new month. Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Tzadok Omer, Yimnon Rebbe Zmanon, Mekachinuto, Shekvar Kichu Shamayim. Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Tzadok says, no. You only designated as Rosh Chodesh when you had to do something. But if you didn't do anything on day 30, then by default, day 31 became Rosh Chodesh. In heaven, they already declared it. And who needs you? You don't have to declare it as Rosh Chodesh. We said, Rosh Beit Din, the head of the court, declares it Mekudash. We hereby sanctify the new month. And then everyone replies, Minani Mili, where did this come from? Amar Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, Amar Rav Yosi Ben Shula, Amar Rebbe. Amar Krav, Vayedaber Moshe Et Moadei Hashem. Mikan Shrosh Beit Din, Omer Mekudash. The fact that the Pasuk says that Moshe told over the set times of Hashem, that Pasuk teaches me that he designated the times, that he gave them holiness. How did he do so? By declaring Mekudash, and so too we declare Mekudash. B'cholan ani acharav Mekudash Mekudash minalan. Where do we get this from? That everyone responds, "It's holy, it's holy." Amar Papa Amar Kra Asher Tikru Otam. It says these are the set days that you will declare, and we read it, being that there isn't a vav there, we read it Kari Bei Atem Asher Tikru Atem. You, the people, have to declare these times, meaning we, the people, have to designate the month, we have to sanctify the month and say Mekudash, Mekudash. That's Rav Papa's source. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Elehim Moadai, Hem Yomru Moadai, they will declare it as my set times. Elehim Moadai, meaning he reads it as, pause after the Elehim, they, my people, will declare Moadai that these are my set times. It's up to us to declare that this is the new month. Mekudash, Mekudash, Trezim Neilam Ali. Why do we say Mekudash twice? We have a rule that usually you say something once. If it's going to be something that people contest, you say it three times. So when we have rabbinic institutions that the Kutim challenge, we say it three times. The Mishnah says in Menachos, when he'd come to harvest the Mincha, that the Kutim would challenge us, that it should only be, the Omer should specifically be on a Sunday. So that Shavuot should always fall out on a Sunday. So when we'd come to harvest it on any other day, so then, especially if it was a Shabbos, we'd come and say, should I harvest this? Everyone would say yes. Should I harvest this? Everyone would say yes. Should I harvest this? Everyone would say yes. Anything that we do that's rabbinic, that was challenged, we declare three times. And that's why when we do Hataras Nedarim, we say it three times. Why do you have to say it three times? Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Because you're validating a rabbinic institution. What do we do Yom Kippur night? Kol Nidre, you say three times. Kol Nidre. You don't, it's not so clear that you have to do it three times, because you really say it three times in the Kol Nidre. You say, Kul Hon, all my vows should be annulled. Lo Sharir, and they should have no power. Velo Kayom, they should be non-existent. You said it three times in the actual Kol Nidre. Yeah, but we have a custom to say it three times anyways. Three times is a way of validating something that others might question. It wasn't rabbinic. It was our tradition versus their challenging our tradition. I meant Divrei Sofrim, yes. So that's what the Gemara is asking here. I understand once, I understand thrice, I don't understand twice. So Gemara says twice, that's based on a pasuk. Rav Lezer Rebbe Tzadok Omer, Im lo nireh bizmanon mekadshin oto. He says if you didn't see it at its set time, so then Rosh Chodesh ends up being on the 31st, so you don't sanctify it. Tanya Plimo Meir, there was a Tano named Plimo, he says the following. Bizmanon mekadshin oto, shelo bizmanon mekadshin oto. When do you sanctify it? Only if Rosh Chodesh is on the 31st. On the 30th, you don't. Rabbi Shimon or Tzedok Omer, no, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ben Kach Ben Kach and Mekadshin Oto. He says, either way, you don't have to designate it, you don't have to sanctify it. Shnemar v'kidashtem shnat ha-chamishim, shanim atam kadesh, v'yata mekadesh chodashim. Sanctify the 50th year, but don't sanctify any months. So he says you don't sanctify anyone. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel al Chak Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, that you only sanctify it, you only have to designate it in court if you designated the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. But if the 30th day was from the previous month and Rosh Chodesh is the next day, then you don't designate it. Amar Abaye Afanana Mitznina, we also have a supportive price. Ro Betin Chol Yisrael, the Mishnah says, if everyone saw it, they're having a massive party outside, and everyone saw the new month, the court, Israel. Nechkiru Aidim, and then they interviewed the witnesses. Velo Espiku Lomar Mekudash, and things were hectic, and they didn't manage to sanctify it, Ad Shecha Shecha, until night settled in. So everyone knows that today should have been Rosh Chodesh, because everyone saw the new moon last night. But the Romans attacked. We didn't get to designate day 30 as Rosh Chodesh. By the time the courts could get to it, the sun set. We missed it. Now what happens? So day 30, by default, becomes from last month. Aye, everyone knows it's not 30, that it's really the new moon. Everyone saw it last night. Tough luck. It becomes a pregnant month. It becomes a month that has 30 days, and Rosh Chodesh is the following day. Meubarin, mekudash lo. What do you mean? You don't sanctify it? Says the Gemara, it's tikha leisaka dat chamino il veru betim choy israeli pals mablo liyabru ha kamash malan. What's it telling me? Even though everyone saw it, you're stuck. You can't change it. Aye, everyone knows that the new month was yesterday. You can't do anything about it. Yes. Give me just 1 second, Yehuda. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to explain the last thing we just read. So the Gemara understood from the words me'ubar that it means that we will not sanctify it tomorrow. That it's unnecessary to sanctify it when the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh. So that's why the Gemara wanted to say this is a support to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. The Mishnah says, if you didn't get to sanctify it today, so then tomorrow will automatically be Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says, no, maybe the Mishnah is not taking sides. Maybe really you do sanctify tomorrow. What the Mishnah is stressing is that today became day 30, even though everyone knows that it's the first day of the next month. But if you didn't sanctify it, then it became Me'ubar. And the reason the Mishnah had to say that was so that you wouldn't think, well, if everyone knows that we saw the new moon last night, then today should be day 1, not day 30. We say, okay, but if the courts didn't get to do it, so then it's day 30 in spite of the fact that all of Israel knows that technically, astronomically, you're in the new month. Still, you didn't do it, you didn't do it. And then it turns out that the Mishnah is not in support of the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. We wanted to say, you see from the Mishnah, that if you missed it, so then, okay, tomorrow becomes Rosh Chodesh, but you don't do anything about it. Like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok said, that when it's the 31st day, you don't do anything. Now we're saying no. The Mishnah was teaching you a different aspect of the din. Whether you'll actually sanctify it tomorrow or not, the Mishnah wasn't discussing that.
Okay. Is there an explanation to Primo and Rabbi
Shimon? Rabbi Elazar Shimon is a limud. Plimo, I don't know. Plimo, I don't know. Mishnah? Okay, so we're going to pause here and review what we did today.